reading it now for us in English. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labour. For we are labourers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. I'll read the next verse also. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Amen. Let's pray and just ask the Lord's blessing upon our time now as we look into this passage of Scripture. Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord, for the opportunity to read thy word. And we ask for your blessing and, Lord, pray that you would give us, Lord, eyes to see, ears to hear that which the Spirit of God would have for each and every one of us here this morning, Lord. May we be refreshed and encouraged. And Lord, if there be anyone here this morning who's not saved, Lord, then that they would, Lord, hear clearly the gospel, the good news of Christ's death, burial and resurrection. And Lord, even this day they may be repent and turn to the Lord Jesus and be saved. So we commit ourselves to you. We ask again for your blessing now. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I want to start with a question this morning. What's the greatest work that is taking place on planet Earth today, do you think? If we were to take a poll and say, what is the most important or the greatest work that is happening on Earth today? Now, some would perhaps say, well, you know, I think the space science is very important. My, that's an amazing work, and they're looking to go out to Mars. I understand if you'd like a trip to Mars, it's only a one-way ticket at the moment, but they are looking to provide that for people. You say, well, that's amazing. You can just get out there to Mars on a spaceship, whatever you want to call it, and how incredible, what a great work that is. We might look at other aspects. We might look in the medical profession, and we see now the incredible things that they can do with the medical knowledge now and the operations they can perform. And I remember there's a man here in town now who can actually, he was blinded in a work accident. And for a number of years he was like that. And then there was a situation came up where some doctors in Italy, I think it was, had developed the ability to take a person's tooth, either an eye tooth or a chin tooth, and implant it in the eye socket so that person could see through that tooth. Now, if you're not sure about that, I'll tell you the details later on. Now, you think, that is amazing. He's now can see through this tooth. He was, I think, the 11th in the world to have the operation done. And we say, what a great work that is. And we could look at that. We might look at someone who is the CEO of maybe one of the big banks in this country, and they're getting their, you know, $10 or $12 million a year, and we'd be thinking, my, what a great and incredible work they're doing. And we could go on and on. We could look at the peace talks in the Middle East, supposedly, and my, what an incredible work they're doing there, and UNICEF and World Vision, and we could go on and on and on about all these wonderful things that man is doing, but all of those are going to come to an end one day. All of them will come to an end. The only work which will last is the work of God, which results in the salvation of souls and then those people living for God. It's the only thing that lasts for eternity. And so if we were to ask that question again, what is the greatest work on earth today? The greatest work on earth today is God working in the hearts and lives of people and saving them and transforming them in a supernatural, miraculous way. That's the greatest work. And one of the great blessings of that work of God is that every believer can and should be involved in it. Amen? Everybody. It's not just for some select few that have the privilege, perhaps, as I do, of preaching, but it's for everybody to have a part in this, which is the greatest work on earth, the salvation of souls. And I want to think about that. We read this passage deliberately this morning because the Bible says there in a couple of places in verse 8, 1 Corinthians 3, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward." You have a look in verse 14, "If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." And I want us to think this morning about the rewards that are ours if we get involved in the work of God as we ought to. All right? Look at some of those rewards that can be ours if we are truly seeking to be involved and doing the work of God. Now, we won't go into all that this passage is about. It's speaking about believers as they stand there before the Lord Jesus, and the rewards will be handed out. But I believe there are rewards that we have now in this life which will carry on into eternity, but they are very definite rewards that we have now. And I want us to look at and think about some of those. The first one is this. If we get involved in the work of God, then we will have the amazing privilege of seeing God working in someone's heart and life. All right? I want you to think about that. Why are you to say that? Because salvation is a supernatural, miraculous work of God. Salvation is not something that man can accomplish in and of himself. I cannot save anybody. You cannot save anybody. We can be an instrument that God will use, but salvation is a supernatural, miraculous work of God. And we could read in John chapter 1 this morning where in verse 12, John said, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but are born of God." It is a supernatural, miraculous, amazing work as God uses the word of God, which is the seed that he plants within the heart and life of a person and produces salvation. You say, what's salvation? Well, glad you asked. The Bible teaches that we are all sinners and that there is a wage of sin or a penalty of sin, which is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ, because he died on the cross and was buried, rose again the third day. In our place, he did that. So God takes that truth, that seed, the gospel seed, plants it in the heart of an individual and then begins to work and bring forth eternal life. And that person is saved. You can look through the scriptures, through the New Testament especially, and time and again you see there how God was working in people's hearts and lives. You think about Cornelius, who was a very religious man. He was a Roman centurion. In the book of Acts, we read of him. He was a very righteous man. He used to pray and fast and give, and everybody said that he was a wonderful fellow. His problem was he was not saved. He was not a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's busy praying and fasting and doing those things. In another town, in another place, the Apostle Peter is there. And God begins to work in Peter's life because as a Jew, he would despise the Gentiles. So God had to teach him a lesson that now all men are able to be saved through the Lord Jesus. So while he's teaching him that lesson, he's also working in Cornelius's life. And then the messengers go from Cornelius, because God had sent to Cornelius, you need to go and get Peter back, he'll be able to tell you. And so God was working all that out. We look at it now and we can see how God was working in people's hearts and lives and providentially working all that out so that Peter came to sit down with Cornelius and the rest of the household. And what happened there, Peter began to speak to them and said, "What do you, why am I here?" And they said, "Well, God said you have the answers to life." And Peter said, "Well, that's a fact. I do have that. I can tell you how to be saved. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved." Well, Cornelius and the rest of the household responded. And so God was working all that out until Cornelius was a totally new person from the inside out. You think about the Apostle Paul before he became a Christian. What was he doing? He was going out, he was getting Christians, he was torturing them, he was imprisoning them, he was cheering when they were killed, and he thought he was doing God a great service. And God began to work in his heart and life. It wasn't some man who said to Paul, you need to change your ways, you need to get a different attitude towards... No. God worked in his heart and life. And God so worked in Paul's life that there on the road to Damascus, as he was going down to Damascus to get some more Christians and put them in prison and do all the things he wanted to do, the Lord dealt with him. And on that road there, in the light of God as Christ appeared to him and spoke to him, the Apostle Paul was supernaturally changed. And he went from being a hater of Christians and everything that he was, he said he was like an animal chasing them down, trying to destroy them, and turned around and became the exact opposite, and became one of the greatest probably Christians who've ever lived, if we can use that term carefully. God was working there. And I'm sure today if we were to take time to give testimony, we could give testimony after testimony of what God has done in the hearts and lives of each of us here today. Now, if you can't, then you need to think about it. If you can't give a testimony of what God has done in your life, then let me suggest to you, he hasn't done anything yet. Because the work of God is just that. Salvation is a work of God. It's a supernatural enabling that God does. Have a look in Matthew chapter 28. So one of the great rewards that we get as believers is to see God working supernaturally and changing people. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19 and 20, the Lord Jesus is about to go back to heaven. And he's risen from the dead. He's been ministering there for 40 days. And he gives this commission to his disciples. In verse 19, he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." And we'll see a little bit of that later on this morning, Lord willing, or early afternoon. teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And notice what he says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. One of the great rewards we have as we get involved in the work of God, of getting the gospel out and seeing people saved, we have the Lord's promise that he said, I will be with you. I will be with you. And I don't know whether you've ever come to a place where you've wanted to talk to someone and you thought, I just don't know how to do it, and I don't know whether I'll be brave enough or whether I'll be able to do it. And then God gives you that assurance that he's with you. You have that sense of the Lord's with me. I don't have to be fearful of what people can say. The Lord is with me. And we read in the scriptures, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so we have this tremendous privilege, or we could call it reward, of knowing that the Lord is always with us. Amazing, you think about that. We come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and notice something else here. Now this is a work that God does, the work of salvation, but notice here in a couple of verses, Paul in the opening verses dealing with a problem in the church there. There was a division in the church. There were arguments about who was following who. And in verse 6, he says this, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. In verse 9, he says, for we are laborers together with God. I want us to notice a couple of things about this. First of all, that this work of God, God wants us to work with him as part of that. God could send an angel from heaven and preach. He could put a message in the sky today which would stay there as long as he wanted it there. He could get a banner to wrap around the world so that everybody could see it. But he's chosen to use, as Paul said, the foolishness of preaching of the gospel that people can be saved. So you and I can have this tremendous privilege of working with God. We're not working, you know, so I'd like to work with the CEO of the bank of NAB or whatever. Well, that's all very good, but and that'd be incredible, and it'd be amazing to stand there in the operating theatre and hand over the instruments to the surgeon, and that would be all interesting, and maybe to go down there in the space lab and do a little bit there. But how much greater privilege it is to be working with God. Working with God. Now Paul says, I've done some planting and I've done some, and Apollos has done some watering, but notice he says, we are laborers. And I want to also make this point. If you're going to be involved in the work of God, you have to be prepared to do some work. Isn't that amazing? That's profound, isn't it? The work of God requires some work. I've said it many times. I thought it would be good if I could find a verse that says I can sit home in my office reading books until I get a phone call or a knock on the door and someone says, oh, I just want to talk to you about God. Oh, come in. Thank you very much. No. There's work involved. We are laborers together. Now, labor speaks of hard work. And so we do some door knocking. We do some letterboxing. And we try and witness to our family members. And we try and talk to our neighbors. And we try and talk to the person down the shop down there. And we try and talk to the person when you get petrol. And it requires some labor. It requires some work. It doesn't just happen. But the tremendous and amazing privilege is we're working with God. We're working with God. Imagine that. What better, and I'll say this also carefully, what better boss could you have than God? God says, I promise to meet all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We'll never lack for anything in the work of God. Whether it's money, you say, well, money's a problem. Money is not a problem to God. It is not a problem to God. God owns everything, if you didn't know that. You say, well, I got a bank account and I get X of money. Let me tell you something. When you die, you're going to leave it all behind. You know, we can think what we own and think what we have and everything else, but God owns it all. And when we get involved in the work of God as a laborer with God, guess what? He provides all the needs that we have. All of them. Not just financial, but he gives the grace so that we're able to, even with fear and trembling, you say, I'm a bit fearful. You read back in the chapter 2 there, of 1 Corinthians, and Paul says there, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. You think, oh, well, you know, when I get a little braver, when I get a little bolder, then I'll do it. No, you won't. No, you won't, because then you'll be trusting in your own abilities and you'll no longer be a worker with God. You'll think you're a worker for God. No, we're not workers for God. We are workers with God. Amen? It's a difference. God's with us always and he meets every need that we have, and so we have this, I believe it's a great reward. But here's some of the other rewards. Look in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, a very, very well-known passage. We were preaching about it last Sunday, about the prodigal son. I don't want to go to that this morning, but just to highlight some things here. Remember what Paul said, that we have rewards. As we labour with God and work with God, we have rewards. Here's the first reward I want us to see. In verse 5 of Luke chapter 15, here's a man who had lost a sheep. He had 100 of them, he'd lost one. And so he goes out and he finds that one. In verse 5 it says this, and when he hath found it, he lieth on his shoulders rejoicing. The next parable the Lord speaks about is the woman who had a coin. This woman lost the coin. She searched until she found it. And then in verse 9 of this chapter it says, and when she hath found it, she calleth her neighbors, friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. And then you look down in verse 23, and it speaks of the son who had gone away, wasted all his life and money and everything else. He comes back to his father. And then we read there in verse 23, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry, or be rejoicing, or be joyful. And one of the great rewards that you and I will enjoy when we get involved in the work of God will be the joy that comes with it. The joy of it. You know, if you're out there talking to someone, after you finish talking to them, there's a sense of joy there. When someone gets saved, there is rejoicing. There is a joy that nothing else can give you when you start getting involved in the work of God. It's like the man who lost that sheep and he got it back. He's rejoicing. The woman who lost the coin. I mean, it was important that you kept all those coins. You won't take time to deal with that. But she found it and she was rejoicing. And notice also in this passage, in verse 6 of Luke 15. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, rejoice with me. And so what happens? You get involved in the work of God and you get the gospel out to someone, and then you go and share what you've been doing. And guess what happens? They will rejoice with you. Sometimes I go home to my wife and I say, well, today, she says, what happened? Well, today I was able to share the gospel with someone, and say, my, how good is that? I said, amen. What a blessing. And there's rejoicing with others. Have a time of testimony. Always love it when we get these prayer letters and we hear about people who've been saved. And not about you, but I rejoice with them. It's great, great blessing. One of the great rewards is when we're busy in the work of God, it's a joyful life. Yes, tests. Yes, trials. Yes, struggles, perhaps. All that. But undergirding all that, there is a joy that you don't get when you work for NAB. You might have a nervous breakdown or whatever, or pay someone else to do it, you know. Imagine the Prime Minister's job. What a job. I don't think there'd be a lot of joy there. Greatest joy probably is the Prime Minister when you've served your last day in office, so that's it, I'm finished. But in the work of God, there is a joy that continues on and on and on and on. Notice also in Luke chapter 15, so we've got the individuals rejoicing, others rejoice with us. And notice what the Lord Jesus also said in verse 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Verse 10, he says, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Think about that. This work that we are doing with God causes rejoicing in heaven. I mean, that's a powerful thing, isn't it? You think about that. Heaven is vitally interested in what's happening on planet Earth. And as we get involved and labour with God and get the gospel out and preach salvation and someone gets saved, we rejoice, other people rejoice, and the angels, in the presence of the angels, there is rejoicing. I don't think that happens when the share price goes up. You know, I'm the CEO of the NAB Bank and the share price have just gone up 5 points. Wow, how good's that? And I guarantee it, if you were to be able to look into heaven that day and say, where's the rejoicing? The points have just gone up. They say, what are you talking about? Nothing to rejoice about there. It's going to go down again tomorrow. No, there's rejoicing in heaven. There's joy in the presence of the angels of heaven. There's some of the rewards that we have. Rewards of working with God. You know, one of the other rewards, I believe, will be if we've had a part in someone's salvation, they'll be thankful. They'll be very thankful. You think about it, and we've said it many times, today there's some 7 billion people in the world, perhaps more. And out of all those people, if you're saved today, that is an incredible privilege. And how thankful we ought to be to the person who shared the gospel, or the persons. Normally it's not one. There's a sequence of events that takes place, the seed sown. As Paul said, you know, he sows some, Apollos waters that seed, someone else waters. The Lord Jesus could say to the disciples in John chapter 4, he said, I've sent you to reap where another man has sown. But he said, let me tell you, the sowers and the reapers will rejoice together. But how thankful, I'm thankful. When I think back to 30 odd years ago, and I think of Pastor Weston, he'd done some 5 years earlier what we did when we came down here. He started Northside Baptist Church. Imagine if he hadn't have started it. You say, well, God could have used someone else. Yes, he could have and probably would have, but I'm thankful Brother Weston was obedient to what God called him to do. And I'm thankful for Brother Glenn Weeks, who preached the gospel the night I got saved, faithfully preaching repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ's death, burial, resurrection. I'm thankful for that. And I guarantee when I get to heaven one day and those men will be there, I'm not going to be any less thankful. In fact, I think I'll probably be more thankful, because then I'll enjoy the blessings of heaven and eternal blessings that God has for those who love him. And I'll be able to point to some of those men and say, they're one of the reasons, part of the reason why I'm here. How thankful you'll be, amen. The rewards. The rewards that can be ours. Rewards knowing that this is something eternal. When someone gets saved, they have eternal life. You win the lottery. I was talking to a man toward the end of the week. That man, by any standard, has problems. While I was talking to him, he's busy smoking his dope and drinking alcohol and telling me some of his life story. But I had the privilege of sharing with him that God could change his life. You see, that man said to me, this is the point. He said, oh, I've just spent $100 to get Lotto, or whatever it was called. And he said, if I get enough numbers, he said, I'll get a few $1,000s. And he said, that'll clear my debts and I'll be able to maybe buy a car and life will be good. Really? Really? I said, no, you need something more than that. You need to get your life right with God. Because even if you win the lotto, you spend it all, then what? You've got to win another one. You've got to keep doing it. We're talking now about eternal results. The supernatural, miraculous work of the Spirit of God in the heart and life of an individual brings them that place of conviction that they're lost, that they're sinners, that they need salvation and only Christ can give it. They repent and turn and believe on the Lord Jesus and are saved, and that goes on for all eternity. Amazing. I want to look at one more thing and then we'll close out. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and as Paul writes to the church there, he was instrumental in being preaching the gospel and people had been saved and a church started in Thessalonica. And in the end of this chapter 2, he says this, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" He says, "For ye are our glory and joy." The Apostle Paul points to these believers there at Thessalonica and says, "You people, you believers, you are our glory and joy." Read through the scriptures that there are crowns that will be given. One of the crowns will be for those who've been involved in the work of God, of preaching the gospel and getting the gospel out to others, seeing people saved, if not seeing them saved, certainly sowing and watering and doing all that as part of the work of God. Then one day the Lord will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Here is a crown of rejoicing." Eternal benefits. Eternal rewards that God wants to give us. Imagine one day standing before the Lord and he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful laborer with me." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we bless you for this time we've been able to think about the rewards, Lord, that are ours for the taking, for the having. If we would just get involved in the work of God, the privilege of seeing God working in people's lives, supernaturally, miraculously, as Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. And Lord, the privilege of knowing that you're always with us, and Lord, that we are laborers together with God. And Lord, the joy that can be ours and shared with others, and not only here but in heaven, Lord, the joy that comes when souls are saved and given eternal life. And Father, the thank yous that we can give to others and others may give to us. And then, Lord, one day to stand before you and be given a crown if we've been faithful, a crown of rejoicing. Lord, it's we think about the things of this world and the things of this earth, they're passing away. They're not going to last. They're temporal. But the work of God is eternal. Lord, may we, Lord, give some serious thought to that and ask ourselves a question. What part am I having in this great work of God? Do I have any part in it at all? What am I doing to further the work of God? And Father, maybe someone here this morning is not saved and they would be wondering what it is even. Perhaps they've never heard something like this before and there's some questions in their mind, Lord, I pray that you would have mercy on them and cause them, Lord, to ask someone this morning, what was he talking about? How can I be saved? I'm not sure what that means, but I'm interested. I'd like to know more. Perhaps there's someone like that, Lord, today. May you continue to work in their hearts and lives till they too would be saved. So again, we thank you and we praise you now for this time in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.